Morning, everybody. How are you? It's lovely to see you. One thing I hadn't accounted for with our first contemplative Sunday was how dark it would be up here. So if I need to, I may go stand over here by this cool lamp and talk to you. No, I do want to extend a special welcome. We are doing something different today at Liminal. This is something that we hope to incorporate on a monthly basis going forward. But this is our first Liminal contemplative service. So I just wanted to let you know sort of a little bit of what to expect today and what not to expect. Basically, this is a little bit busier than what a traditional contemplative service might be, but as we're kind of transitioning into trying some new things and ways of worshiping and meditating together, we hope you'll be along for the journey with us. So today what we will do, one of the first things we're going to do is learn an ancient custom. We're going to sit quietly. We will hear a short message. We're going to watch a video. Again, we will sit quietly. We will respond in prayer. And finally, we'll get a chance to take communion together because it is the last Sunday of the month. What will not happen today is we will not be singing together today. We will not have a lengthy message. Again, come back to our regularly scheduled programming next week. Also, I wanted to say hi. If you are new in person today, if you are joining us online for the first time, we hope you feel welcome here, and we're very glad to have you. We will do the announcements at the end of the service today. So I just kind of wanted to let you know sort of what to expect. So I ask that you breathe in, still your mind and calm your heart and open your ears. I would like to, at this time, go ahead and dismiss our kids and our youth. So anybody in the blend, our sixth grade and up, if you could go with Kelsey and go that way, we're going to go upstairs. And for our smaller kids, I believe they are already out. So that is all I have for you at the top of the service. At this time, I would like to... Oh, you know what? I don't want to forget. There's something else. You were handed a notebook as you came in. Did everybody get their notebook? If not, now's the time you could run and grab one at the front. That is for you to use during today's service. It's also for the Ash Wednesday service we'll be having this week and at future services. So we would ask you to consider this notebook an invitation to step into the Lenten season with us. All right, I believe that is, that. Again, now that's all the announcements I have. At this time, I would like to direct your attention to the screen behind me. Today, we're going to learn an ancient practice that embodies prayer. So please follow the instructions, and after that, we'll hear from Catherine Anderson. Again, welcome.
The passing of the peace is an ancient Christian custom. It is based on the risen Jesus' words to his disciples. Peace be with you. In church tradition, during passing of the peace, we stand and turn to our neighbor and say, "Peace be with you." Our neighbor then responds, "And also with you." Then we turn to our neighbor on the other side of us and repeat. With these simple words and actions is a deep truth, the concept of shalom. Shalom is God's desire and intention to restore us and the world to wholeness through Jesus Christ. When we turn to each other and say or sign, "Peace be with you," we are praying for and blessing our neighbor. And in faith, we are stepping into God's plan for the world. So, I have Denise here to help me demonstrate this process. So, I'm going to say, "Peace be with you," and she responds, "And also with you." Now, we're going to go ahead and show that a bit more slowly. So, I am going to sign with my hands folding over like this, "Peace," put my hands together with, and gesture towards her, "You." And she puts her hands out in this Y hand shape, "Also with you." Okay, now it's your turn.
One hand, right hand over the left, rub it, and like that calm thing. Then together, there we go, and there we go. Yay! Okay, you guys, you can sit. That's the busiest we're going to be during this contemplative service. Yay, the back is getting it. It kind of is like a wave. All right. I'm going to wait. All right. So this morning, we're going to ease into the contemplative part. In a few minutes, there's going to be a prompt on the screen. And I just want you to sit and think about it. Write something if you want to write in your notebook. Listen for what God might be saying to you. If you feel like getting up and writing something on the chalkboard, that's fine too. But this is just your time to slide into this. But before we start, I'd like to pray. Lord, we are so grateful that we are here this morning in safety and peace and comfort. But we know that in other places of the world, there is turmoil, there is war, there is danger. There is anything but safe and peace and comfort. And so, Lord, we recognize that we are in a unique place where we have the space to hear your voice. But we're also in a unique place and time where we have the time and the energy and the space and the heart to pray for those around us, to pray for the world. And so as we just learn to pass the peace to each other, Lord, we pray for your shalom over this planet, over this country, and the country of Ukraine, and all the other places in the world that do not know what we can experience right this moment. Lord, we pray for your shalom in our hearts and the hearts of everyone, and we thank you that you actually make this possible. So be with us today as we spend time listening to you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Sitting in silence can be disorienting, can't it? Disconcerting. Maybe freeing, though. Maybe peaceful. Maybe scary. I want you to know that there's no one way that you should feel this morning. And by that I mean that today, please don't place any expectations on yourself that you should feel a particular way, that you should experience a particular thing, or that you should act a particular way. Today is about creating space and being open for what will or will not happen, or for what may or may not happen. We're entering the Lenten season. Lent officially starts this Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, and we are going to have a service here at church at 7 o'clock on Ash Wednesday. Lent is one of two liturgical seasons of the church. And liturgical just means it's on the church calendar. Advent is one of the seasons, and it takes place the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, and Lent is the other season. And Lent encompasses the 40 days leading up to Easter. Christmas, the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. Easter, the death of Jesus of Nazareth. Those events are the two most significant events in church history. And because those events are so significant, so momentous, they require special attention, time to prepare, time to mark, time to set aside, time to remember, and time to enter into what God has done for us. But we live in a world where the spiritual is often overwhelmed or hidden by today's headlines, by our busyness, by our distractions, by forgetfulness, by our pain, and even sometimes by our outright rebellion. And that's why we carve out this season. Some people fear that Lent is all about confessing our sins, mustering up the strength to be better people somehow, rehashing our failures, doing penance. If that's you, please let that go. That is not Lent. Think of these 40 days of Lent as a journey. We mirror, or we walk in the footsteps of Jesus as he journeyed 40 days in the wilderness. His journey symbolically relived Israel's journey in the desert. So during Lent, we metaphorically walk in a desert. We walk in the wilderness. We ask God to show us ourselves as we really are. We are finite creatures of the earth, made from dust, and to dust we will return. And we learn from Israel's sojourn in the desert and Jesus' own time in the desert that it's the desert that reveals the disposition of our hearts. Am I turned toward God or away from God? Am I open to God or have I closed myself off? This is the beginning of the Lenten journey. And during Lent, we walk with each other. This church and many other churches in this country and throughout the world are walking in the desert together. We walk through these 40 days as a family, as a community of faith, just like Israel did. And we learn to be dependent on God. We learn to love each other and acknowledge our brokenness. We are one in Christ, and we are one with each other. And together, we are on a journey home to God. And during Lent, we walk with Jesus. We walk with Jesus as he walked toward the cross. We acknowledge the reality of his suffering, and we acknowledge the reality of his sacrifice. Kate Bowler calls it the great descent of the church, where the whole church, his body, walks toward the cross. And we get to tell the truth. Life is so beautiful, and life is so hard for everyone. There's another way to think about Lent, too. As we journey, we let go and we take up. Lent is a time of letting go and taking up. And you don't have to figure those things out for yourself. What do I add? What do I subtract? What do I let go? What do I take up? You sit with God and you work it out. You ask God, where are the places I am holding back from you? What do I need to let go of, God, and so I can hold on to the things of you? What can I let go of? What can I take up? What have you intended for me, God, in this time? Letting go and taking up. A breath prayer for the Lenten journey. Letting go and taking up. There are some phrases that also teach us about the Lenten journey. The phrase bright sadness, the phrase severe mercy, the phrase luminous darkness. On their own, they seem like oxymorons. Each of those word pairs makes no sense. But each of those word pairs contains a deep mystery that tells us about Lent. Bright sadness, severe mercy, luminous darkness. That's the truth of Lent, that we walk to the cross, yet Easter happens. That we journey in a desert, but manna and water appear. That we are finite and fallen, yet we will be forever transformed. And so on this Lenten journey, our prayer for you is that we together will be able to say these words. And if you want to read them with me, feel free. If you just want to have them wash over you, that's fine too. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. We're going to watch a short film, just 4 minutes. It's a little bit about this Lenten journey. And when the film is over, another prompt will appear on the screen. No, that's not true. I think when the film is over, I'm going to get up and read a reflection about the film, and then a prompt will appear on the screen, and we will sit in silence once more.
In the beginning, in our beginning, we were only dust, knowing nothing of the good and evil, only the pure innocence of God. And in that garden, alongside Creator, the birth giver, witness to life, begetting life, we were shameless. Known in our nakedness and freely creating, work was being human. Standing at the edge of the garden, things were not the same. They were fragile, and we needed protection, so we hid behind trees, behind each other, and our lives. And work was no longer about creating, but surviving. And individuated from God, we sought shelter from the pain of the memory of what we'd lost. But at the edge we stood, never alone, but a pale reflection of our former selves. Would we remember how to be man and woman again? Would we know how to walk together with clear vision of each other? Not as self-made image, but as souls sheltered in the divine, searching for the one who created and loved. From the garden, I entered the wilderness of my striving, where I encountered demons, my demons, and the shifting sands and the dirt between my toes, as a reminder of my mortality to seek, to fill the hunger, to remember who I was. But really, always forgetting, getting caught up in work or in another, or distractions. There were days where my dreams became fantasy, painting myself into a corner to surround myself with all those I loved, including a life that I left behind. Stretching myself across a canvas of memories, to walk across the painted desert, to stand up on the highest cliff and to look down and hold kingdoms in my palm. There's temptation before me. And what they were for me, they were for the Son of Man. A deep growl in a hungry soul. Jesus came to face himself in his frailty, but he feasted on food made of words baked in the mouth of God. Words of life and hope that promised another way, back to lush lands where we could be together with the one who never left us alone.
The text of that poem, that or the text of entire movie, is included in your handout. It's beautiful, so it's there for you. And for those of you who are watching online, it's also in the app. I'm just going to read a brief reflection on this film. One interpretation is that because there is no mention of the word sin in the third chapter of Genesis, the story of the fall of Adam and Eve is not about sin, but lost innocence. The couple was no longer ignorant to good and evil, and the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. The intimacy that they had with the Lord God was no more. They had abandoned it for what they thought would be sweeter fruit. Many of our pursuits, projects, and relationships are simply a hope to return to the innocence of the garden. Their work was meaningful, food was plentiful, and relationships were satisfying. What we often experience now are only shadows and glimpses of what was abandoned. In this way, our longing is good. It makes us search for that place we left, the place we know as home. But at times, this longing is numbed by things that are unhealthy or even self-destructive. Some of us therefore abandon our search for home, abandon the hope to find our Creator. Sometimes we abandon our pursuit because we have felt abandoned. The proverbial fruit seems beyond our reach. It can be argued that the Lord God did not drive them out of the garden, but that they themselves forsake it. Nevertheless, even before the couple's expulsion from the garden, their Creator was always with them, providing them protection and presence. And soon the Lord would speak to the children of the man and woman in the same way God spoke to them. God's absence is a perceived absence. Sometimes we will experience His absence. However, this is not the reality. God's presence is and was always expressed in the Hebrew word hesed, or tenacious love. There'll be a prompt on the screen, and again, we're going to spend some time in silence.
Thank you.
As we enter into communion, I'd like to invite you to consider, is there a person or a situation that weighs heavily on your soul? God, would you have you release that to Him so that God can hold it for you and let you come to the table free? As you breathe in and breathe out, release and receive. Release your burden. Receive God's mercy, His love, His forgiveness. Let go your burdens. Feel the unforced rhythm of grace and come to the table. When you're ready, we ask that you would come up the sides to whichever table you prefer. Receive communion from the ushers. You can take it back to your seat and receive it there. I'm going to pray a prayer over communion, and the words will be on the screen. And there's a response at the end that maybe we can all say together. The table of bread is ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and all who love Him. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more, and you who have been here often, and you who have not been here for quite a long time, and you who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed, come. Let's respond together. It is Christ who invites us to meet Him here. Come to the table when you're ready.
Thank you.
going to slowly ease out of our contemplative portion. And I want you all to take a deep breath and then exhale as you stand up. Can you do the passing of the peace one more time? Right palm over left palm. Slide it. Hands out. Fingers toward each other. And then the other person says, I think we'll get the hang of it over time. Yeah, we all have to practice. And my old hands have trouble. Jeff is going to close us out.
Thank you, Catherine. And thank you, Jenny. Thank you, James, for giving us a very pleasant, relaxing, contemplative atmosphere this morning. Thanks for everyone else that has helped make this morning happen. I wanted to thank you all for participating in this. Like I said, this is something that we do hope to do monthly moving forward. And we'd love to hear your feedback on how your needs are being met or other things you might like to see as part of this. We encourage you to use our connection card that we have at the connection counter. And you can give us feedback on that. We would love for you to join us this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. We mark the first day of Lent. The service will be at 7 p.m. It'll be a very short service, but we will step into that luminous darkness, and we will experience the wholeness of God. So we hope you can join us for that. Again, a very special welcome if you are joining us for the first time or new to us recently, in person or online. We would love if you would fill out one of those connection cards that we have at the counter. And so just to let us know that you were here, if you are joining us online, you could let us know through our app, Liminal Church of Ventura app. That's a great way also for those of you that are not new, you can use that connection card. And please let us know how we can pray for you, how we can help meet your needs. It's also a great way to let us know how you'd like to be more involved in Liminal Church of Ventura. One more bit of housekeeping reminder that as of next Sunday, our policy of wearing masks will be revised to align with the County of Ventura. That means masks will be optional for those that are vaccinated. We do ask that any family members over the age of 2 that have not been vaccinated to please continue wearing a mask. And of course, if you are vaccinated and simply feel more comfortable continuing to wear a mask, we encourage you to do that as well. So before I conclude the service, I do want to encourage you to hang around for a few minutes afterwards and say hi to someone. Talk to Catherine or talk to Jenny. Spend a few minutes processing this experience before we just run out the door into our busy lives. So remember, it is Christ who meets us here. We are made one in Christ and one with each other. Go in peace.